Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We're starting a new series today, and this series here is on grace. We are in the age of grace. That's what the new covenant, the time period we're in, is the age of grace. You know what? A lot of people go to church and they really don't understand grace. So that's going to be my goal, is to help bring some understanding and revelation to this area of the grace of God. And we're calling it growing up in grace. The Bible says that in Romans 5:17, that we've been given an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that we would rule and reign in life. So when we're ruling and reigning, we are overcomers. We can overcome sickness. We can overcome poverty. We can overcome negativity and failing relationships. We become overcomers when you're ruling and reigning in life. And that's what the grace of God does. It gives you power to rule in your life. And so we're going to increase our understanding in this area of grace. And we're going to start with the Beatitudes. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Now let's look at this. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Before we get started, I want to go back in chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 23. See, what this is the beginning. Jesus was ushering in the kingdom of God, okay? That's what Jesus was doing with this teaching and this understanding. It's the age of grace, okay? The Bible says that Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. That's what we are to be. We're to be full of grace and full of truth. We're saved by grace. And so the more we understand it, the more it can flow through us. And the more the grace of God can flow through us, the more power we're going to have to live as overcomers in life. Now, look what Jesus is saying here. Matthew 4:23. "And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the what? Of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." Jesus was began preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was bringing in this kingdom. He was setting it up. It says here, "Then his fame went throughout all Syria." Okay, now think about this. So here's Jesus. Now he's preaching this kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. and healing these folks. And these folks are receiving this and hearing this. And so what they do is they start to tell people. How many of you know the word of mouth is the best way to spread something? Well, that's the way it is. It says, look, then his fame went throughout all Syria. He started in Galilee, and it overflowed, and it began to spread in Syria because of what the people were saying. The word fame is the word akos, and it means echo. So they were echoing the things that Jesus was saying, and it was starting to really spread. And that's what was happening. It was going all over, everywhere. And then it says in verse 1, it said, great multitudes followed him. Verse 25. But now look, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was announcing that blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed means happy. It means fortunate. In other words, Jesus was preaching that sinners, people who are in the world, who aren't born again, are blessed. Well, how can that be? Well, because the only thing between you and the kingdom is your decision to follow Jesus. It's not your sin. The only sin that Jesus didn't die for was the sin of rejection of himself. That's the only sin. He took on all sin on the cross, annihilated it. And that's the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. Well, you know, I've gone to people and I've shared, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for it. Well, you don't know where I came from. You know, I've heard that. I can't tell you how many times. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for it. Well, I'm a homosexual. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for it. Jesus became a homosexual on the cross. He became sin. Well, I'm an adulterer. I've been in so many relationships. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for it. Well, I've been married, I don't know how many times, 5 times. It doesn't matter. Jesus died for it. The only thing is if you're going to receive Jesus and believe on him. That's the one thing that he's looking for. That's why it says this. It says in John chapter 16, it says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Not sins. It's not plural. It's sin. The one sin if you have rejected Jesus. I'm telling you what, you got to get a hold of that. Because you know what? How many times do you run around and you condemn yourself? Or you feel bad about something you said or you did? You know what? That's you. The Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to do with that. That's your own heart and your own conscience condemning you. That's because you don't understand the grace of God. You see, when we understand it, we're not going to beat ourselves up. And we want to be in church. We want to be where the people of God are. Because we're all in this together. And we're empowered and we're connected. Are you with me? And we need each other desperately. You see, what happens is you start to hurt. You start to condemn yourself. And you feel like I'm not good enough to go to church. I don't want to go there today. Well, you know what? That's you. And then the enemy will take that and pound you down with that. But when you understand grace, I'm the beloved. I'm saved by grace. I believe in Jesus. Are you with me? Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. It's about Jesus and what he's done for you. You see, he didn't commit one sin, but he became sin. You see, we weren't righteous, but we became righteous because of what Jesus did. We exchanged our sin for his righteousness. He exchanged his righteousness for our sin on the cross. Come on, are you getting that? Everybody say, I'm the righteousness of God. See, we got to understand that. In Hebrews 5:13, it says, those who only are on milk, they are unskilled in the word of righteousness. See, that means, and they are babes. The word babes means nepios. You don't even know how to talk. Remember, we're guided by our mouth. You don't even know how to talk. So when we understand grace and righteousness, then now we're going to really begin to grow, and this thing is going to work. I'm going to tell you what, this is something you can get a hold of. Your soul can get on this, and I'm going to tell you what, it's your soul can rest. I mean, this brings rest to your soul. I need something for my soul. When your soul is resting, and everything else is falling apart, your soul, I'll tell you, my soul was just, man, I was eating this up this week. You just wait, I got something for you today. Oh, are you ready for this? I'll tell you what, this is the kingdom. Now watch this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is the Beatitudes, okay? This is the Beatitudes. The word Beatitude, it means blissful or it means happy. So you see, folks, when you understand the kingdom of God, you are going to be happy. See, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and what? Joy. Joy. You're going to be happy. It shows up on your face. It shows in your the way you treat people. You're happy. I remember when I first got saved, it's like I was on weed or something all the time. I was always laughing. You know, because when I was before Christ and back in those days, you know, you teenagers back before Christ, I'd smoke weed and want to laugh all the time. You know, I always got the giggles. But it was the same way when I come to Christ. People say, what is wrong? I just happy. Because, see, I knew I didn't deserve it. I knew I had received something that I really didn't deserve. That's unmerited favor. That's the grace of God. Now watch this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus wasn't just saying, well, you know, this is how it is. He was making a declaration, a divine declaration and pronouncement of truth. This is divine. This is the way it is. When you are poor in spirit, you are going to be happy and you're going to be blessed. That's what he was saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what the word poor means? It means bankrupt. It means destitute. There's nothing in your account. In other words, sinners have nothing in their account that could be credited towards heaven. All we have in our account would be credited towards hell, right? But the good news is, when you understand that, here it is. Receive Jesus. When you're poor in spirit, receive Jesus. Now the kingdom of God is yours. That's what he was saying. Now listen. Here's the problem. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is pride. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is where the original sin came from. Satan, when he fell, it was self-righteousness is why he fell. Let me give you an example. Look at the person next to you. And let's just say you both owed $100 million. All right, now, let's just say, okay, one of you paid the debt 5 cents, 5 cents towards that debt. And the other one next to you paid 10 cents towards that debt. Okay, now here's self-righteousness. The one who paid 10 cents towards the debt thinks they're better. That's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness says we are rich in spirit when we are poor in spirit. In Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church, Laodicea means people ruling. People ruling. When you think that you have need of nothing, you are in trouble. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3. The opposite word for the word blessed is the word elu, the Greek word elu, and it means doomed or cursed. So in other words, when you don't get this about the kingdom and understand it, you're going to be doomed. It's going to be a curse on your life. It also means woe. The word woe means doomed or cursed. Jesus said woe at times, and that's what that meant, doomed or cursed. Revelation chapter 3, speaking of self-righteousness. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is Jesus speaking. So you are neither cold nor hot. I will vomit you. You're lukewarm. Lukewarm means neutral. And neutral means the position of a gear where no power is being transmitted. So that's what happens when you're lukewarm. We got to stay on fire for God. We need to get concerned about people who aren't in the kingdom. We need to get concerned about people. Remember I said make a list of people in your family and begin to pray for them? Are you doing that? Because, folks, this will bring the fire back into your life. Now, he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I did a study on that word vomit, and it means vomit. It means up, chuck, out of his mouth, out of his body. You see, it makes him sick when we're lukewarm. He would rather you be cold and rigid than to be lukewarm, just indifferent. Well, I'll go to church today, see what the preacher's got, see a couple folks. Lukewarm. You understand what I mean? Because you say, verse 17, because you say, speaking of self-righteousness, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He is talking spiritually here. They thought because of their material wealth, because they were very wealthy, there weren't any real poor people in Laodicea. They thought that they were mature because they had material things. I'm going to tell you what, that doesn't mean beans when it comes to your walk with God, what you have materially. Are you with me? So that's what he's talking about. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You've got to realize your poverty of spirit. You've got to realize that nothing's in your account on account of you. It's all in your account because of Jesus. And I'm dependent on him. That's what he wants. He wants you dependent on him constantly. And that means you're poor in spirit. The ultimate deception is to believe nothing when you need everything. See, they weren't believing God for anything because they had everything. That's pride. Things are going good. I don't pray as much. Now, he's talking to believers here. The ultimate deception is to believe you have everything when you have nothing. That's self-righteousness. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, we're all subject to this. Now listen, the Jews came up with, in Judaism, they looked at the law, the rabbis and the Jews, they looked at this law, the five books of the Torah, and they said, this is too hard. We need to come up with something so people can actually live this out. So they came up with something called this word Talmuds. And it's something that you see in churches everywhere is a Talmud. It's like a rule and a regulation. How to live your life, it's a list of rules and regulations. Holiness is not wearing makeup. Has anybody ever seen, you know, there's churches where they don't wear makeup, they don't wear jewelry, and they think that's being holy. That's not holy. That's ridiculous. And you know, I'm not saying anything negative about the people. It's about the Talmud. You understand? It's not the people I'm talking about. Because I was in a restaurant last night before yesterday's service in the evening, and then this whole family came in. You know, the women had their hairs in a bun and a little thing on it, and you know And I was just sitting there thinking, because I was meditating on what I was preaching. And right there it is in front of me, you know. What is it with the hair in a bun? That's not bondage, remember? That's bondage. That's what that is. That's a Talmud. Anytime you have to tell someone how to dress and how to, you see, that right there is self-righteous. That's religious. What, you know, I like makeup. I think makeup's a good thing for women, right? I mean, you know, if the house needs painted, you know, paint it. Talmuds are, someone says, I'm keeping the law, so I'm right. I'm righteous because of what I'm doing. See, that's what a Talmud does. It makes you think you're righteous. Anytime you're righteous because of something you're doing, that's self-righteous. Because you can't do anything to make yourself righteous. Jesus came to wipe all that outward stuff out. The writing on the wall, he came to erase it. What keeping the Talmud does is, as long as you keep your little list of rules, then you feel you are righteous. And as long as you feel righteous because of your behavior, you will never be happy. You will never be happy because you're just keeping rules and regulations. And true joy will never be a part of your life because happiness is realizing that you are completely bankrupt in the spirit and you desperately need God. You desperately need God in your life. And that your account is filled with His righteousness and not your righteousness. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the same word as blessed are those who are poor in spirit. It doesn't literally mean poor, a lacking of money or lack of material wealth. It means spiritual. There's two Greek words for this word poor, but the word poor in the Beatitude and the one Jesus was talking about in Luke 4 is the word tokos. And there's another word, paneas. And this word paneas for poor, this is what paneas means. It means working to toil for daily subsistence. It's people who can work but not earn very much money. That's what that paneas means. That's not the word that Jesus is using. Now stay with me, folks. This is huge. The second word, tokos, is the word that Jesus is using. And it means beggar. It means to beg. It means pauper. And it described people who were blind, who could not work. People who were blind, crippled, maimed, disabled, and they hung out and they hid in places and they skirmed around and just held out a cup in the corners. I saw it in India. A lot of times we'd go into cities in India, you'd see these people sitting and they just hold out their cup and, you know, shake it and just murmur things. And, you know, they're dependent on somebody having mercy to put something in that cup. Because if nothing gets in the cup, they're going to die. And see, it was rested on the mercy of the other people. That's the way it is. That's the way we are spiritually. That's the way we are. Blind, crippled, maimed, ashamed. And if someone doesn't have mercy on us, we're going to die. But Jesus had mercy on us, didn't he? He put something in our cup. Now, self-righteousness. Go back with me to Luke 18 real quick. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in who? Themselves. That they were righteous and despised others. Anytime you despise others, you become self-righteous. The word despise means to disesteem. You don't value others. So now you've elevated yourself to thinking you're better. Or anytime you get around people that are critical, always criticizing something about somebody or some group or someone, they're just critical. Self-righteous. You want to watch those people. I've been around those people this week. My unspiritual ears are attent because I'm not going to hang around that. If you hang around that, it's going to get on you. You cannot sit around. It will pollute what God has done in your heart. You got to watch. Critical, always speaking something about somebody else that they have no business. That's huge. Now listen, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Gag me with a spoon. He's declaring all these things that he's, you see, that's self-righteous. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus says, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. Now look at this. Look at this next one. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now look what Jesus says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee, he didn't go down to his house justified. But this one that cried out, have mercy on me, a sinner, he went down justified. You know what the word justified? Salvation. He was saved because of his cry. Did you catch that? Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the way it is. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. You see, folks, we have to get to a place where we desperately need God and realize our poverty in spirit. Because when we run around and we don't have time for God and we don't have time for the things of God and we don't have time to, you know, then you're becoming self-righteous. That's empty. Now look at this. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now Isaiah was looking at the awesomeness of God and beginning to see it. Now look, above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, angels, who with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Now watch this. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And this is what Isaiah said. So I said, woe. Remember, what's woe? Cursed, right? And doomed. I'm doomed. I'm cursed because he saw the awesomeness of God. He saw that he began to see the richness of God. Woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When you get in the presence of a rich God, you will see how much poverty and how poor you are in spirit. When you get in the presence of a rich God who is rich in holiness, rich in purity, rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in love, you will realize how poor you are in spirit and how much you need God in your life. That's what happens. You see, when you become self-righteous, that means you haven't been getting in touch with God. Because you can't stay prideful and always condemning and criticizing other people and being negative towards people when you're getting into the presence of God. Because God is all about people. And the kingdom is all about people, bringing people into the kingdom.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.